Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60% off.
60% off?
Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 728 to 92. Select styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to this June 23rd, 2016 episode of the College Gridiron Showcase Watchlist Show presented by the NFL Draft Bible, NFLDraftBible.com. You can use the promo code DRAFT2016 for a free 30-day trial, so be sure to check that out. Of course, a few weeks ago, we released the official 2017 College Gridiron Showcase Watchlist. And we've already gone over many of the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers that are on that watch list of over 400 prospects. And this afternoon, we have the tight ends on tap to keep an eye on for this upcoming season. As always, I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. A reminder that the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium kicks off January 7th. It goes on through January 11th in Bedford, Texas. For more information and to view the watch list, you can log on to cgsallstar.com. And for updates on the College Gridiron Showcase and NFL Draft, again, visit nfldraftbible.com and go to nucgold.com to subscribe. Again, the promo code free 30-day trial, DRAFT2016. Of course, be sure to follow on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible, at CGS All-Star. And if you have any questions regarding the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, please contact the co-founders of the game, Craig Redd and or Jose Jefferson. And with that said, I now welcome back onto the show co-founder of the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, Jose Jefferson. Jose, hope all is well, my man. Last week we went over the wide receivers and we touched on a couple guys such as Jakeem Grant and Jawan Breskinson, who, of course, participated in last year's CGS. They're now playing professionally. And a name that we forgot to bring up who is really generating a lot of buzz is Andy Jones, formerly of Jacksonville University, now with the Dallas Cowboys. I was actually able to lock down an interview with him a few months ago, right after his outstanding pro day, certainly one of the better pro days of all the 2016 draft prospects. What can you tell us about Andy Jones? What did he show throughout the week in Bedford? And can you see him contributing right away? I mean, Dallas's number two wide receiver, Terrence Williams, he's entering his final year in his contract. Can Andy Jones be a guy that we could see sometime in the near future play opposite side of Dez Bryant?
I think so. I mean, all week long, Andy Jones was there with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, a polite chip, as I call it. I mean, he was very pleasant, but he was there with things to prove. And obviously, with a great combine, great pro day, with the way offenses are going in the NFL, you don't need, you know, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, the Michael Irvins and the Dez Bryants are great to have, but it's also those guys like the Andy Joneses that are also going to take some pressure off of those guys so they're singly matched up as opposed to getting the doubles all the time. But I think Dallas has it steel. I mean, I happen to know Will McClay, who's the director of player personnel there. We go back to the Arena League, and he's under that same impression of, you know, the dink and dunk type of guys, the athletes. And I think he's going to be phenomenal for that. I would be shocked if he's not on the 53-man roster come opening day.
Yeah, and again, he absolutely dominated his pro day, which really turned him on a lot of radars. And, of course, he was before that at the College Gridiron Showcase opening up a lot of eyes. Now, Jose, on today's show, we'll be focusing on the 2017 class of tight ends. So making the transition to the tight end position, Cedric Lang was another guy participating in last year's game. He's now attempting to make the transition from basketball to football with the New York Football Giants. I've been told that Lang and Adam Fuaney out of Southern Illinois were both like guarding tree trunks throughout the week there in Bedford. What kind of impression did those guys leave on you?
Oh, my goodness. I have a picture with those guys. In fact, the whole tight end group. And that challenges your manhood right there. I'm 5'9", and those guys were easily 10 to 11 inches taller than me. But it was a great experience with them. But the tight end position, obviously, with Antonio Gates, the Grahams of the world, the Gronks. It's totally changed in terms of there's two types now, your blocking tight end and your receiving tight end. And Cedric Lang was, you know, he was unique because he was the first player that I've ever seen his highlight video, and it ended with a barrage of dunks. You know, I mean, he had the football in there, but it was this barrage of 360 dunks and reverse dunks and showing his athleticism. And he was labeled as a try hard guy, you know, from some scouts. And I think he turned some heads by getting in there, mixing it up, being able to grab the football out of the air and in traffic. And he was tough, you know what I mean? And like I said, is he going to have a challenge with the Giants? Yeah, a little bit, because their offense is, you know, Bob McAdoo, he's with Mike McCarthy, and so it's that dink and dunk offense, which doesn't really highlight the tight end as much. However, I think he could probably come in there and sneak in there and do some things and open some eyes up for himself. So I'm excited to see him go. I really am.
And we've seen former basketball players, we've seen many former basketball players get a look in the NFL. You have the Tony Gonzalez's of the world, Antonio Gates, and of course the Dallas Cowboys drafted Rico Gathers in the sixth round out of Baylor. So certainly something that we've seen before, and certainly hope Lang could get on a roll there in New York with the New York Football Giants. And lastly, Jose, anything else before I let you go? Any new updates with the CGS?
You know, we're still rolling with sponsorships. You know, like I said, one of the new drink companies is really eyeing us to kind of be our official drink. Can't name them yet until they sign the paper, I suppose. But, you know, every day we're on the phone, me and Craig, talking about potential partnerships. Trying to grow the event, and it has grown. I don't know if I had said this before on prior podcasts, but I was on the phone for about an hour with Ken Fiore, who's the vice president of player personnel for the NFL, and they have approved the College Gridiron Showcase as an event that they will endorse to all their teams. So we are obviously in the clear, in the good graces of the NFL, and one of the events that they are endorsing to their clubs and will put on their calendar. So it's been a very, very busy offseason for CGS.
And that is absolutely big time. I mean, day by day, week by week, you know, brighter and brighter things are coming along with the College Gridiron Showcase. And, you know, we certainly can't wait for the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium. Jose, as always, thanks for giving us a call in.
No problem. Take care.
Again, that's Jose Jefferson, the co-founder of the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium. And I now welcome on to the show, as always, they're here with me every week, Joe Everett and Rick Saratella. Rick is coming off of a show, the Sports Tech Guys show, on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook Live, on Periscope, the whole nine yards. Of course, NFLDraftBible.com. And as always, I am your host, Chris Shanafelt. And you guys, I mean, just looking at this group of tight ends that we have here on the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase watch list, I mean, group one, I mean, just looking at this first group, you could already tell it'll be a better group than this past year's group of tight ends. I mean, you got O.J. Howard out of Alabama, Jake Butt, Michigan, Evan Engram, Ole Miss, and Jordan Legit out of Clemson. Joe, we'll go to you first. I mean, who's your favorite out of these guys who, you know, we could see going as soon as the first round?
I'll take all four of these guys. I agree with you, Christian. It's such a marked improvement over last year's class. And I just think a lot of previous years, you know, maybe there's been an elite guy at the top, but no depth. Or maybe there's been some depth, but really no shining stars. Whereas, like, this senior class by itself would be considered a great group. And, you know, we don't even need to touch on those underclassmen. But I'll stick with the Alabama kid, O.J. Howard. Maybe all four of these guys could have declared early. I was very worried that Howard did because he's still very raw, but probably the most athletic guy here of this four, just freakish measurables. He's a real vertical threat with that height he has and the length, the range. He can get down the field quickly. And I think, you know, pro scouts are going to like the offense he comes from. Lane Kiffin doing it pro concepts. Now this will be, what, his third year under Kiffin. So a lot going for him. But still, I think unfinished product. You know, you can't, like, assign him a grade right now just because I'm not seeing a lot of sophisticated route runnings. Of course, a great bowl game last season, but just a guy that still needs to prove himself a bit more as a pass catcher. Also could use to add a little bit of bulk, but once it gets to testing time, I think there's going to be a lot of teams drooling over O.J. Howard, so I'll go with him.
Yeah, and you touched on it already, Joe. I mean, these are seniors that we're talking about. We're not even talking about the underclassmen, and here we have you know, four prospects who really could go as high as the first round. I mean, at least over the last few years, it seems like the tight end position has almost been like the running back position where, you know, you may have a guy, you know, one tight end go in the first round. Then after that, you'll start seeing them sprinkle in the third, fourth round, kind of like this past year. Rick, what about you? I mean, did any of these guys make a mistake by staying in school? Again, these are all seniors. They could have came out in the 2016 NFL draft, and we're already talking about how I don't know, bad that class was. Did any of you guys make a mistake by staying in school?
Yeah, I think so. You know, listen, I mean, Joe hit the nail on the head. O.J. Howard maybe doesn't have the production. Lane Kiffin not using the tight end a lot in that offense, but they found a way towards the end of the year. I mean, this guy was busting out, and I have a feeling if he came out early and went through the combine testing and completely blew up Indianapolis like I think he'll do in February. You take a look at the tight end class this year, there's no doubt O.J. Howard could have been a top-round pick, if not a first-round pick. And same thing with Leggett from Clemson. You know, you take a look at his body of work and some of those Clemson guys on the defensive side of the ball only had 1 year experience, Shaq Lawson, Kevin Dodd. Well, Leggett was the offensive version for the Tigers, redshirt sophomore, really came on as a playmaker in that offense. I see him as a guy who could really ascend into a possible first-round pick. So, you know, I it would have been interesting to see if he declared. He could have been a guy that kind of skyrocketed as we got closer to the draft. Jake Butt, I really do think he did make a mistake because, hey, listen, he has a realistic shot to be a first-round pick, but, you know, I see him as a second-round guy. I saw him as a second-round guy last year, and I think he'll wind up in the second round this year. So for me, I think Jake Butt probably made the biggest mistake because I don't think he has anything to gain. I don't think he is going to really significantly improve his draft stock. Whereas a guy like Evan Engram, I think he can improve his draft stock. He can work his way. He might not be in that first-round mix now, but with a solid season, he could definitely work his way into that mix.
Yeah, you know, and if Jake Butt entered last year, I mean, he would have at least made that tight end group look a little bit stronger, as you said, probably somewhere in that second or early third round grade. But looking at now the tier two of these tight ends on the 2017 College Center Showcase watch list, you got Gerald Everett, South Alabama, Taylor McNamara, USC, Josiah Price, Michigan State, Billy Freeman, San Jose State, Colin Thompson, Temple, Jeremy Sprinkle, Arkansas, Daryl Daniels, Washington, Johnny Munt, Oregon, Standish Dobard, Miami, John Smith, Florida International, FIU in the building, and Keith Cowbridge of Louisville. Joe, I mean, which of these, you know, one, maybe two tight ends that has a chance to rise into that, you know, maybe late first, maybe early second round, you know, kind of area?
Two guys I like from this list that do a good season. I think Gerald Everett from South Alabama, no relation, guys. Of course not. I actually has no resemblance to me. He's a big, tall, athletic cut. I'm a short, fat, white guy. So Everett, though, a real legitimate pass-catching threat. He was a focal point of that offense as far as when they go to the air. And I love the story. You know, he's from UAB, and after that program just sort of disbanded, he and a lot of the Blazers went over to South Alabama, including their offensive coordinator. So it's kind of like a, you know, band of brothers. We're sticking together and play football. Everett actually only had one year of football at high school. He's more of a basketball background, had to go to Hutchinson Community College, then UAB. They closed down football, now South Alabama. I mean, this kid wants it. The ability is unquestioned. I love his body control. He's a legit hands catcher. A good height. He just needs to bulk up. He might be in a little tweener role like a Jordan Reed from the Redskins, but, you know, faux wide out, flexed out wide a lot. But I think he's got a spot in this league. And, you know, South Alabama is going to be leaning on him hard. Once again, every time they go to the air. And then another guy, Billy Freeman, San Jose State, led them in receiving last year. This is a good program. The kid runs good routes, decent speed, but an effective blocker. He understands his angles. I don't know that he's a gifted pass catcher, but he gets the job done. He's a kind of a body catcher. It's not pretty, but once again, I guess that is his game. I don't care what it looks like. He's getting the job done. That's why he made the Mackey Award watch list. So looking at that program, it's on its way up. Billy Freeman's going along for the ride. So that's a guy definitely to watch. I think he's got a chance to really ascend to the top 10.
And you know what, Joe, I echo your sentiments on Gerald Everett of South Alabama. I mean, certainly going to be the focal point of their offense this season. And like you said, just a natural pass catcher. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this season as a senior, you know, his last go around. Rick, any favorite out of this bunch here, tier two?
Yeah, you know, I'm disappointed. I could have swore Joe and Gerald were related. But, you know, if you guys are fans of the NFL Draft Bible, then you already know, I always make a trek down to Philadelphia to watch the Temple Owls at least once or twice a year. And the guy, I really want to keep an eye on this kid, and I'm curious to see whether or not Colin Thompson is going to really put it together and finally be the player that we've been waiting for him to be. Now, he started out at Florida, highly recruited out of Doylestown, PA. I mean, he chose the Gators over schools like Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, just to name a few. You know, started 10 games last year, more in a blocking type of role. But, you know, Sal Major is gone. He graduated. He moved on. He was kind of their pass-catching guy. Colin Thompson really has a situation here to really carve out a niche. You saw him make a big play last year on the two-point conversion. P.J. Walker hit him, but just 16 career catches so far during his time at Temple. I think that this is a guy, 6'4", 250, could come out of nowhere. Now, you know, he battled a foot injury, you know, I think a couple years ago. So staying on the field, obviously want to see him stay healthy. But if he does, guys, I mean, this is a guy completely off the radar that I think could, you know, work himself into a draftable grade, puts all the pieces together. The other guy, Janu Smith, FIU, this young man led the country in receiving for tight ends in the country 2 years ago, 710 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, a pass catch machine in that Ron Turner led offense. Ron Turner, brother of North Turner, NFL experience, head coach there at FIU, really knows how to utilize this kid. I mean, you talk about a weapon. He lines up in the slot. He lines up outside as a wideout, tight end, H-back, fullback. They're throwing this kid motion, running him in motion, bubble screens, hitches. You name it, this kid does it. Again, another tight end coming off an injury, missed 4 games last year, still had 400 yards receiving. So I'm looking for Janu Smith, 6'3", 230 pounds, maybe bulk up another 10 pounds or so. But you're talking about a pass-catching type of guy. I think he has nearly 1,500 yards receiving and almost 20 touchdowns during his first 3 seasons. I think this guy could be a playmaker at the tight end position.
No doubt about it. Again, you guys are tuned into the College Gridiron Showcase watch list presented by the NFLDraftBible.com. You guys could log on to the NFL Draft Bible, use the promo code DRAFT2016 for a 30-day free trial. Be sure to follow on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible, at CGS All-Star. And if you want to take a full look at this watch list of over 400 prospects, go ahead and do it, CGSAllStar.com. I'm your host, Chris Chanthal. We also got Rick Cartella and Joe Everett here on the line. And let's take a look at Tier 3 of the tight ends that are here on the CGS watch list. Starting with Wyatt Houston, Utah State, Carlos Carvajal, Purdue, Evan Bayless, Oregon, Sam Cotton, Nebraska, Deshaun Smith, LSU, Daniel Brunskill, San Diego State, Faison Odom, Fordham, Sean Polk in Missouri, Stephen Carter, Nebraska, and Duncan Fletcher of Furman wraps up Tier 3. And if I could, I'd like to kick this one off. We're going to look at a for each at this Tier 3 group and looking at Faison Odom of Fordham, a huge receiving target, 6'8", 245 pounds, does a fantastic job at really catching the ball with his hands, so really nice soft hands, and certainly has to work on his blocking. You watch some tape, and he does tend to play with a high pad level, but, I mean, being 6'8", will do that to you, I suppose. Another one of these former basketball players making the transition to playing football. This is a guy that sat out his first year there at Fordham due to an injury. Second year, he had to sit behind an All-American tight end, and then last year he really was able to break out, reeling in 7 touchdowns, and which was third in all the FCS. Faison Odom of Fordham is the guy that I think has the potential to really rise up this group of tight ends, talking about the 2017 prospects. Joe, what about you? Is there a sleeper on this list that you want to keep an eye out on?
There's a lot of guys out here. It's like kind of the big blocking nasty tight end list. A lot of these guys, if they don't make it in the NFL, they've got a future as a bouncer outside of a nightclub, because they are just some large and in charge guys. The one I like most is Danny Brunskill out of San Diego State. Just looking at the Aztecs program, they love to run the football. This guy's a converted offensive tackle, kind of ideal for their set, and a former walk-on, but really has started to polish up his game as a pass catcher, just being supposedly a thug. Well, he caught a couple touchdowns last year. He's very understanding of blocking, and the arrow is pointed up for him, I think, as far as who's in a good program, who could have a big senior, and the NFL's not messing around. They're looking for two-way guys. I mean, that's why Nick Vannett, this last year, got drafted in the 3rd round. They want someone who can legitimately block and then get the job done catching the pass as well. Of this group, I think, Brunskill is definitely headed up, and I loved hearing you talk about Faison Odom. Boy, that's super sleeper in this class.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And Brunskill, one of those nasty blocker guys, kind of the opposite of Faison Odom. But, like you said, in the NFL, they're looking for guys that could do it all, especially at this tight end position. Rick, what about you? Any sleeper here on this Tier 3 of tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd like to stick with the theme of Faison Odom. This is a guy, really, that should be on the national radar coming out of the Bronx, New York, here in Fordham, a guy we will follow very closely throughout the season. And you heard Jose, talk about Cedric Lang and, him and Adam Foyney at the College Gridiron Showcase this past season, like two big tree trunks, catching passes. I spoke to Bart Scott about how difficult it is to tackle these taller tight ends, the guys like Rob Gronkowski, who goes 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds. Well, Faison Odom goes about 6'8", 250 pounds. He would be the tallest tight end in the league once he gets drafted. Toiolo from Atlanta right now holds that distinction, I believe. But you talk about a red zone target. This guy had 7 touchdowns last year, 37 catches. So, I mean, you're talking about a quarter of his catches were for touchdowns. As you mentioned, Chris, sat behind Dan Light, an All-American there at Fordham. And this, this Fordham football program, they are going to really have a high-powered offense this year. And I think this young man, mm-hmm. Faison Odom, is a guy that's going to bust out in a big way and really put himself on that national radar. And I love to give some of these small school guys and the FCS guys some love, because we do concentrate on the Power 5 conference guys so much, and they always get the shine. They're always in the spotlight and the national media attention. But this is a young man, if you're not familiar with, you need to get to know. And he's been timed in the mid 4.6 range from what I've heard. So, if he runs under 4.7 in that mid 4.6 range at 6'8", 250 pounds, that's going to be very intriguing, especially at the very least, as he develops and enhances his blocking capabilities. I mean, at the very least, you bring him in the red zone packages, and this guy is instant offense. I mean, you just throw him a jump ball, and, you know, with his arm reach, there's not going to be too many guys who can compete for it.
You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, just talking about the Fordham program, I mean, that's one of my favorite programs in all the FCS, one of the more talented programs in all the FCS, and certainly one of my one of the teams that I'll be keeping an eye out on making a playoff run this coming season. And you guys, we ran through 25 of the tight ends that are on our watch list. Again, still plenty more to cover. Again, don't forget to log on to cgsallstar.com to view the list in its entirety. We are still accepting player nominations all season long. You guys can follow on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible, at CGS All Star. Joe, any final thoughts? I mean, certainly a much improved class from just a year ago. Any final thoughts on this tight end class?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go back to, 2010 for a tight end class this good, the one that had Gresham and Gronkowski and Graham Hernandez-Titta was in that class, but this really is a good group. Look out for Bucky Hodges, an underclassman that could be added to it, but I'd say look out next week for the offensive lineman show is my final thought. We got the bloodlines like Zach Banner at USC, son of Lincoln Kennedy, and if you all thought I was done waxing poetic about IU football players, well, get ready for Dan Feeney. I believe he's the first guard off the board in next year's draft. Go Hoosiers, blocking for a 2,000-yard back in Tevin Coleman, blocking for 2,000-yard backs in Howard and Redding last year. Dan Feeney must be getting the job done. So I'm pretty jacked up for the linemen next week, guys.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Showing some love to IU football. There you go, Joe. And Rick, you know, before we end this show, I mean, let us know about the new show, Sports Tech Guys, and give us the latest on what's going on over at NFLDraftBible.com.
Yeah, for sure. You know, first off, I'm always excited to talk trench warfare and guys in the trenches. And, man, Lincoln Kennedy, I saw him at the College Football Hall of Fame. He's about the size of a house. And you talk about those Hoosiers, Joe. I mean, they're starting to develop a little bit of a name for themselves. Jason Spriggs this year and a couple guys on the radar for next year. But, yeah, we just launched the Sports Tech Guys podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's over on the NUC Draft Bible account. And we're there every day at noon during the week, Monday through Friday. If you love sports and you're into technology like I am, then – you know, it's really a show. It's a platform for me to not only educate you out there, but I'm also getting an education at the same time. Today we had Michael Weinstein on from Zibek Sports, who, you know, is in charge of the laser timing for the NFL scouting combine. And I can go on, you know, on and on and on and talk about what we discussed with him, but it's pretty cool to hear some of the technology, and now that they have about a decade of data to kind of make sense of it all, they're starting to put together formulas using analytics and really interesting stuff. I also asked them, you know, because the NFL is talking about injecting some new testing, some new type of drills, since he works with the NFL, I wanted to kind of pick his brain, get his thoughts on, you know, what he thought should be introduced to the NFL scouting combine. And, you know, you can give the show a listen, but, you know, it's more to the cerebral, you know, mental type of testing. I think that's where teams are really trying to gather, you know, intelligence and information on the psychological makeup of some of these players. But a lot of stuff going on. Also, just got the good word. We'll be at shout out to Big Daddy. Richard Salgado will be at the Big Daddy Youth Football Camp out in Long Island next week. A lot of big names. Steve Spagnuolo will catch up with him. Adam Schefter will catch up with him. A lot of tri-state area guys are going to be there, as well as some other, you know, mainstream guys that we'll catch up to. And that's what we keep on doing during the summer here, is just catching up with some of the current players, former players, coaches, We're going to be hitting up some NFL training camps. We just posted the top 100 quarterbacks, regardless of draft class, in the nation, in the world. So if you want to get a look at that, use our promo code. It's still in effect, Draft2016. Get your 30-day free promo there. But a lot of big things going on, gentlemen, and we'll be down in Bedford, Texas, believe it or not, in about 6 or 7 months. It'll be here before you know it. The invites will be going out, and we'll have balls-to-the-wall coverage of that College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium January 7th through 11th down in Bedford, Texas. So if you didn't make your reservations, book those tickets now. And if you're a player or a coach that wants to nominate somebody, we'll be taking nominations all season long. Can't wait to get my nose into some more film.
All right. And, yeah, that'll do it for the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase tight end show. And, of course, be sure to tune in next week for the offensive line show. I'm Chris Shanafelt of NFLDraftBible.com, along with Rick Saratella and Joe Everett.
Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60%
off. 60%
off? Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful activewear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 728 to 92. Select styles only. Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60%
off. 60%
off? Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful activewear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 728 to 92. Select styles only.